If you would, turn in your Bibles this morning to James chapter 1. I'm going to ask that you, chapter 1, we're going to remain standing to honor God's word this morning as we read it. James chapter 1, we're going to be in verses 21 through 25. James chapter 1, 21 through 25. This is what it says. It says, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, will be blessed in his doing." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your word. Lord, I thank you, Father, you've given us your word, and it's just so important in our lives. And Father, as we dig into these verses and we break them down, Lord, let this be a difference in our lives today and how we view your word and what it means to us and what it can do for us, Father, and how we approach it. In Jesus' name we do ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so over the last several weeks, we've been talking about things that are just important and stuff that we should watch out for as we grow. Last week, we talked about the Reformation, and this week, we celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and what that means to us and what it meant to us. And if you remember last week, the first point that we went over is in Scripture alone, and we talked about how important that was one of the big bases for the Reformation happening, and I want to kind of follow up with that. This is kind of going to kind of be a follow-up sermon to in Scripture alone, but it's also something that I think as we grow, that as we grow as individual Christians, as we grow as a congregation together, that we need to be focused on, that we always have to be focused on this, and that's kind of where we're going today. And let me start off by saying that, you know, in our country, we're very fortunate versus how it was back during the Reformation in the 1500s that we can find Bibles basically anywhere. You can find Bibles at a grocery store that you can buy, bookstores, of course, Lifeway in Springfield. They come in all different styles, shapes, sizes, different translations. There's basically over 500 million Bibles published in the world in basically 18,000 languages. It is every single year the number one selling book across the world. There's Bibles everywhere. And today, we kind of take that for granted because we have access to, even on your phones. I don't know if you have the YouVersion app where you can just pull the Bible up on your phone. You can even press play and it can read it to you. I mean, it's easy, right? So, and no other time in history has the Bible been so available to us. And yet, millions of people just in our country and thousands in our community don't ever understand what kind of blessing God's word can be on their life and how much of an impact it can make on their life, even though it's easily available. And even for us, I mean, I didn't do a whole lot of research on this, but the actual number of people who profess to be Christians and read God's word on a daily basis isn't that good. I mean, people who believe in Christ and say, "I put my faith and trust in Christ," but don't dig into God's word on a regular basis, it's pretty shocking on a regular basis. And we need to, because believing in what this book says and believing in what the Bible says is not automatic. It just doesn't happen automatically. This book promises to do a lot of things for you, to give you comfort and hope and strength and wisdom and power and joy, and bring joy to your life, even when sometimes we feel like there's not a lot of joy. But you don't get any benefit from it if you're not a doer of what it says, if you're just a hearer. And so James is talking about, and he's reading here, and what we read is he's talking about the Bible, and he calls it the perfect law of liberty here. And this perfect law of liberty, it promises us freedom. It promises us blessings. And James gives us an outline here, how to partake in that. He gives us an outline in these verses to say, if I'm going to read God's word, how do I need to read it? And in what frame of mind do I need to be in? And where do I need to be in my life in order to get something out of God's word? And so step one here, we're going to stay on these verses all morning, but on step one, if you go back to verse 21, here's the first one. We must receive God's word. We must receive God's word. And that's what verse 21 says. It says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So one of the key words here is receive. And translated in some versions of the Bible, you may have, it's actually translated as accept. So in the Greek, that is a word of hospitality. It means to welcome. It means to come on in. So you're basically, when you read God's word, you're saying, okay, I want your word to come in. I'm welcoming it. I want it in my life. I want it. So if we're going to be blessed by God's word, and if we want to apply that in our lives, first we have to welcome that. We have to want to read God's word. You have to have a desire to want to do it or to receive it. Now, James puts two conditions on receiving God's word here in these verses. Two conditions, and the first one is to be clean. The second one is to be teachable. So I want to talk about these for a second. So the first one is to be clean. All right, so go ahead and highlight or mark down where it says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. James is telling us here that we need to be clean before the word can be implanted into our lives. This is kind of like when you plant seeds. Next Saturday, deer season opens next Saturday. I know some of you are really excited, some others not so much. I'm pretty excited. Me and Hunter have been talking about it, and every place we go and we're driving around, I'll say, Hunter, let's look for some deer, son. Not that we're going to do anything if we see them, but we look for them. We're excited. Well, next Saturday, my parents have a farm up in Appleton City, Missouri. If you know where Appleton City's at, it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. There's a lot of corn and soybeans up there. And on this 200-acre farm, they plant every year 160 acres of corn and soybeans. And then there's 40 acres of woods that runs through it. And there's a creek. It's like deer heaven. It's like the Garden of Eden for deer. It's perfect to hunt deer at. So me and Hunter are going to go up there next week and go hunting. Well, that soil, every year we plant crops on that. And my dad, actually, they rented out to a farmer up there. And up until a few years ago, the farmer really didn't do a whole lot with checking the soil. He would just kind of plant the crops, and sometimes we'd get a good crop, and other times we wouldn't. Well, my dad got involved when my grandfather passed away of going up there and checking the soil. And they would actually do soil tests and find out, hey, what does the soil need? Does it need more lime? Does it need fertilizer? And so that's exactly, it's just kind of the same concept. Now, every year, we're getting huge crops of corn and soybeans up there because we're preparing the soil for the crop. And that's exactly what James is telling us here, that before we can receive God's word and apply it in our lives, we need to prepare our crop here. We need to prepare our soil. And if we have sin and wickedness in our lives, we need to get it out. You need to get it out because the crop won't flourish. And Jesus actually talks about this and uses a great illustration in Matthew chapter 13. Turn to Matthew chapter 13. He actually talks about soil and crops, and it's a great illustration. It's a parable of the sower, and I want to read it to you. It's Matthew 13, 3 through 9. Matthew 13, 3 through 9 says this, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose and they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Jesus is saying before the soil, before you can produce a crop, before you can, and in this passage in James, before the God's word can start to work in your life, you need to make sure you have good soil. You need to make sure your soil's fertile. You need to make sure that the thorns and the thistles that we get ourselves into is gone. So you need to make sure we're clean. Clean yourself up. Make sure there's not filthiness and rampant wickedness in your life. We need to prepare the soil. Now, the word filthiness in here, and when doing some digging on this, is really funny. But in verse 21, the word filthiness, when James tells us to lay aside all filthiness, the word filthiness in Greek actually can be tied back into earwax. Now, that's crazy. When I did some digging on this, that's nuts. But earwax, you guys ever seen those candles you can buy? Like, Selena used to do this all the time. Well, we had fun with this. There's these candles you can buy, and you put them in your ear, and you basically put a paper plate over your ear. It's nuts. And you lay on the floor like this, and the candle goes out, and you set it on fire. And literally, this candle is burning inside. You stick it way down your ear. What starts pulling earwax out. And then when you get done, you can open the remaining and see how much junk is in your ears. Well, here, and that's why he uses this, because what does earwax do? If my, and I don't like earwax. I don't like it at all. I clean my ears a lot, don't I? I don't like it. But if you got a whole bunch of earwax in your ear, you can't hear. How many of you just heard me now, huh? What'd you say? Yeah. But you got to clean those ears out so you can hear. If you have, it's the same concept here that James is trying to use. If you have filthiness in your life, if you have earwax built up between you and God, his word's not going to matter in your life because you can't hear it. You can't apply it. So you got to get rid of it. You got to get rid of that. You got to get rid of it. Anything in your life, sin, rampant wickedness, sin, filthiness, will keep us from hearing the word of God. Bible says, get rid of it. The emotional baggage, the junk in your life, so you can hear clearly what God is saying through his word. So you can hear what God is saying through his word. How do you clean that up? So it brings up another question. How do I clean that up? Bible tells us, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to confession. We need to say, God, I know I'm not doing it the way you want me to do it. I know I have sin in my life, and I want to get that out. I'm going to get it out. I'm going to do something completely different than I ever have. I'm going to do it your way instead of my way. And you confess your sins, and you're faithful, and you turn to him. That's repentance. You turn to him, and he forgives you, and he cleanses you from that unrighteousness. So we have to prepare the soil of our hearts to receive God's word so it can be implanted into our lives so it can grow. You see, listen, it's crazy, but it does you no good to know God's word and to read it if you're not applying what you read. Like, we can't live some wicked, sinful life and then expect God to bless our life when we're not following his word. It amazes me when I have to talk to people that are, in counseling situations, that they wonder why their life is just a jacked up mess. And they're like, well, I don't understand why God won't bless my relationship. Well, you're living together before you're married, or you're doing this. You're completely going against God's word, so he's not gonna bless that. I mean, we have to prepare the soil before God's word will be implanted. We have to confess our sins. So get right with that. Second thing here, that's the first one, is being clean. The second one is to be teachable, to be teachable. This is important. I talked to Mike about this week, didn't I? Not about to Mike, but just about, listen, we talk too much. Let me be honest with you. We talk too much. I talk too much. We need to be meek and quiet and be ready to learn and be teachable. Like, one of the first things that usually happens sometimes with new followers of Christ or new Christians is they go in and, man, they want to set the world on fire, which is great, but they don't have any knowledge behind it. And sometimes we need to slow down and just be meek and be humble. And that's what this is saying. So it says meek. Circle the word meekness in verse 21 or highlight it. Meekness, we like to think, is weakness. We think when someone's meek, backbone at all. And most people think that. Or you start to think, well, if they're spineless or they don't have a backbone at all. But did you know the word meek is actually, in the original language here, it is the same word that is used for bridling a horse or taming a wild animal. So in other words, the meekness involved is the process of teaching or training an animal. Now, that animal's not powerless. Yesterday afternoon, we took Hunter to the Dixie Stampede for his birthday, right? And there's some awesome, one of the favorite parts of the show, or favorite part for me, is when you're walking by and you see all the horses. You got any horse lovers in here? I like horses. I don't have any, but I like them. So you walk by, and you see these horses. One of those horses that they have, and I wish Max was here, because Max would know, but they're called Belgian horses. Have you ever seen any of those? They're huge. They are massive. In fact, one of the signs, what was his name? Alligator or something? I don't even remember the Belgian's name. But he had this huge Belgian horse. And I mean, literally, he's like this tall. I mean, he's huge. And it said he weighed 2,000 pounds. And they use those as draft horses. And in the show, they have a sleigh that they have a big collar and the yoke that they put on this horse. And he's pulling this sleigh. And this horse is powerful, right? And he's powerful. What controls a horse? A little bitty bit that you put in their mouth, that you steer, that you use to communicate with the horse, right? It's not that the horse is powerless. It's that it's been brought under control. So when we talk about this in a Christian realm, when we think of a person that's meek, we shouldn't think of somebody as a weakling or a spineless wimp. We're talking about a person that is powerful but has been brought under control by the Holy Spirit. And God is in control in their life. They can get stuff done, but they're meek about it. They don't have to be loud, talk too much, and try to force stuff down. So meekness is actually power under control. And in order to receive the word of God, James is telling us we must be clean and we must be teachable before we're ready to receive that. So is that our attitude? Are we just running around like a chicken with our head cut off? Are we really teachable? Are we ready to be taught? Are you willing to be taught? Is your attitude of being meek and getting yourself clean and having meekness, well, that God can use that power that he's given you under control? All right, the second thing here, James tells us, is we need to reflect on God's word. James uses an illustration here. I like sermon illustrations. He says God's word is like a mirror. The purpose of a mirror is to do what? It helps us see ourselves. So we get up in the morning. I know we have a big, in our bathroom, in our room, we have this huge mirror. This thing is, I mean, it's huge. It's like, I don't know, it's the length of two sinks, and it's tall, and, you know, so we get up in the morning, and you go in there, and you brush your teeth, and you know, you check yourself out in the mirror, and you look into the mirror, and you're like, man, Crossbridge has a good-looking preacher, don't they? Man. Next week, I'm going to preach on humbleness, okay, guys? But so you look at yourself in the mirror and you say, and you start to see what you look like. Sometimes you may not like what you see. Sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and you think, man, I need to do something about that. I don't look very good today. Or the ladies, I need to put on more makeup. No, less makeup, okay? But you look at that and it reflects, right? You know what God's word does, and you know why James used this illustration? Because when you look into God's word, it reflects not on the outside, but on the inside. It starts reflecting what's on our inside. Now, that's not always fun, is it? Hebrews 4:12, I know I read this verse last week, but that's exactly what this is saying. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of souls and spirits, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So see, a lot of people, and be honest this morning, a lot of people don't want to read the Bible because they're afraid of what may happen to them, or they're afraid what the Bible's going to show them. So it's easier just to say, you know what, I'm not going to read it. Because if I don't read it and I don't know, it's like I can play ignorant. I can just say, I don't know. I didn't know that. Ignorance is not an excuse when you stand before God. Okay? So when you read God's word, it's a mirror. We see. Gotcha. And a lot of times we're just unwilling. We don't like what we see. We don't like it when we read God's word sometimes, and it shows us things that we just need to get better at. So what do? Well, I just don't want to look at it then. I don't want to read it. That's the number one reason why Christians don't read God's word. Because it'll change them. It'll change them. And you remember we talked about last week? Maybe it was week four. We're creatures of habit. We don't like change. And God's word changes you. And so I don't want to be changed, so I'm just not going to do it. So what are some, but here's the deal. So what are some practical ways that we can reflect on God's word? Because when you look in a mirror, if you just take a quick glance, we're going to talk about this. If you just take a quick glance and keep walking, there's not going to be any changing happening there. But when you stare intently at it and you're digging and you study, this changes start to happen. So how do you get to there? Well, the first thing is the first practical way. In verse 25, it says, one who looks into the perfect law. So you got to read it. You got to look into it. You got to read it. You got to read it. The Greek word for look means to stoop down and gaze in. It's the same word that was used when Peter went to the tomb on that Easter morning, the first Easter Sunday, and saw that Jesus was not there. He stooped in, gazed in. He looked and he saw that the tomb was empty. There are two ways that you can look into a mirror, right? You can glance at it or you can gaze into it. All of us have done both, and we do the same thing with the Bible. Bible tells us that we read it, as we read the Bible, we're glancing at it. But we are to read it intently. We're not just supposed to skim over it. I mean, so many times when you get into some of these Bible plans, the Bible in 90 days, you know what you're doing? You read the whole Bible in 90 days, you've glazed over it, right? Like, you remember in school, you ever did this, I did this. If you had to write a book report over a book, right? So you have to tell, you got to read this book, then you got to give a book report over it. The first thing I would try to do is, did they make a movie about that? We'll watch the movie and we'll summarize over that, right? No. That's just glazing over, right? This is talking about looking into it. You talk about preaching a sermon over one verse. And you study over one verse. Or you spend a whole week reading 10 verses. And you study it and you dig into it. And you read it. You investigate it. That's reading it. Second thing, you review it. You got to review it. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres. James says we are to continue in it. Other words, review it. Go over. Look at it. Consider it. Think about it over and over and over. The Bible calls that's what meditation is. Meditation has been completely taken over by false religions and doctrines and Eastern theology. Oh, it's a mess, right? Meditation is actually reading God's word and thinking about it and pondering it over and over. Hey, you do the same thing. You do the same thing about worry. If you know how to worry about something, you know how to meditate over something. How many of you are worriers in here? You just worry about it to death, right? And what are you doing when you worry? You're thinking about it all day long, right? You know, meditation over God's word is just thinking about it all day long. It's just a positive thing, and it's not a negative thing. Worry is thinking about your problems over and over. Meditation is thinking about God's word over and over. God tells us, meditate over my word. Jesus said, his own words, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. So we need to study it. We need to think about it. We need to read. One of the things this week, and I'm going to start meeting with Ben because I think Ben's going to do a freeway service sometime. So I'm going to start this week meeting with Ben and showing him how I prepare throughout the week and try to help him a little bit. Part of that is reading a verse over and over. And reading different thoughts on that verse and commentaries on that verse and studying that verse and studying the language behind it. That's meditating on Scripture. Third thing, remember it. You need to remember it. Being no hearer, verse 25, being no hearer who forgets. In other words, we're supposed to remember God's word. We are to hear God's word and remember it. One of the most important practices that Christians can do is memorize Scripture. 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. We need to memorize Scripture. Why do you think we're constantly plugging Bible drill around here for our kids? Constantly remember Scripture, memorize Scripture. What's your memory verse? I know Abe, our children's minister, gives them a memory verse every week. It's important that we memorize God's word. We know what it says. So that then there's times when somebody asks you a question or you're struggling, you can say, hey, I remember that. And it can give you hope and encouragement and joy. So we have to remember it. All right, so step three. Now, so we've reading it. We've read God's word. We've meditated over it. Now, here's the key. Now I need to respond. I need to respond to what it says. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you are a Christian, you have given your life to Christ. You have said, Lord, I believe in you, I trust in you, I will follow you. And that means you have promised to do what Christ asked you to do. You have promised to listen to him and to follow him. One of the verses we read this morning in Sunday school downstairs is John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. So when we hear God's word, what do we do with it? When we read God's word, what do we do with it? It doesn't just do us any good at all to hear it and not put it into practice. So when we hear it, when we read it, what do we do with it? What do we do with God's word? How do we respond to it? We can't be faithful Christians without following Christ. We have to have a guide. We have to follow someone. I mean, when Sierra and I went to Cape Town, South Africa in June, luckily we had a good guide that could guide us around. Because if I was trying to follow my way around there, I would have been a lost little puppy dog. I mean, you wouldn't have had, the pastor would never came back. Because I don't know, their roads are crazy. I'd probably have been in a head-on wreck because everybody drives on the other side of the road. And it's nuts. But we had a guide that took us around and showed us, right? That's exactly what we have with Scripture. We have the Holy Spirit that lives inside us that guides us as we read Scripture. We're following the voice of the shepherd when we read Scripture. What does it say? The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. God's word is here to lead and guide you in your life. But you have to put it into practice. You can't just hear it. Listen, this is the travesty. This is the saddest thing about Christianity. When I look out, when I'm at Freeway, or even here, and I'm preaching an evangelistic message, or I'm talking to somebody about Christ, or we're talking about something, I see somebody with their head down and their tears. The Holy Spirit's just hammering away. And then they get up and they leave. And their life is the same as it was when they came in that morning. You know why? Because they heard it, but they're hearers only. I'm not putting this into practice. I'm just going to hear it, then I'm going to leave, and I'm going to keep doing my own thing. I want to keep living the way I want to live, God. And so they reject Christ. We are called. Listen, our growth in Christ, sanctification, we're not going to be sanctified here on earth. We're going to be sanctified when we stand with Christ. But I should be striving every day to grow in my faith with Christ. And when I read and it starts hammering me about, man, I need to get better at that. And it's cutting me down to the joint marrow, I need to respond to that. What I don't need to do is just say, yeah, I mean, that was a really good sermon by him, and walk out and do nothing. I need to respond to God's word. You can only get where you're going by following the voice of God. What does the verse say? God's word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He is giving us this Bible, this God's word, so we can know about him. We can know who he is. We can learn about who he is. We have to put it into practice. It's not just a good book. It's not just a book that you read to try to better your life. It's God's word. It's God's word. The purpose is so we learn about him, we glorify him, and we can become more like him by reading his word. That's what a mirror does. You look into a mirror, you see your reflection. It shows you what needs to be fixed. It shows you what you can take out in order to be made right. It gives us a makeover. It shows us. That's what a mirror does. That's what God's word does. We read it, it shows us what's wrong, what's right. How can we get it out? It's a reflection. The Bible gives you a reflection of yourself, and it shows you how to make things better. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So all of us here are in the same boat. I mean, we've all at one time came to the knowledge. Maybe you're here and you haven't came to this knowledge yet, but that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. and that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It's just by God's grace that we are here this morning and we have an opportunity to follow Him. So guys, it's so important, this whole message of Scripture, God's Word is what changes your life. The Holy Spirit, through God's Word, will change your life. We have to read it. We have to be committed to reading it. We have to be committed as a church and as individuals to following exactly what it says and not being influenced by anything else, just God's Word and Scripture alone. Close. Let's do a quick review here as we close. Receive God's Word. We have to be clean from sin. That means if I have sin in my life, I'm creating a barrier. I got earwax where I can't hear God's Word. I got to clean it out. I want to be able to hear it. So if I have earwax between me and God, let's clean it out this morning. Only you know whether you have that. Get rid of it. Be clean. Second thing is be teachable. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Are we meek? Let God use His power. Harness us just like that horse. It's like that big Belgian draft horse. And, oh man, so much power, but we're teachable. Second thing, reflect on God's Word. Don't skim over it. Study it. Let it be a mirror to you. Let it change your life. Don't just power read through everything. I know one of the things we're talking about doing for next year downstairs is slowing down on through the Bible. Instead of trying to cover like 10 chapters a week, we're going to cover maybe 2. It may take us 5 years to go through the Bible. But we're going to dig in more, and we're going to slow down a little bit, right? No, don't skim it. Don't skim it. Study it. Reflect it. Let it be a mirror. Third thing, guys, respond to it. When you learn something new, what do you do with it? Do we respond to God's Word? Not just being a hearer, but a doer. As we grow, we must never forget how important this book is to our lives in this church. It has to be the most important thing in Scripture alone. It has to be the most important thing. Let's stand this morning. We're going to have an invitation. If you're here and you need Christ, you need to commit your life to Him, you have that opportunity this morning. Jesus died for your sins. If you're here and you need to join this church and get busy serving here, you're going to have an opportunity to do that. You can do that. Come forward and make those intentions known. Or if you're here this morning and we talked about getting clean and there's a barrier right now between you and God and His Word because you got sin in your life that you need to get out, confess those sins. Get them out. Get rid of them so there's not any more barriers. Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, this morning for Your Word. Lord, I thank You that it's so easy for us to read Your Word. We live in a country that right now it's so easy to read Your Word. And Lord, we don't take advantage of that. There's people around this world that would love the opportunity to read Your Word. And we have it at our fingertips and we don't. So forgive us of that, Father. Lord, burden us with the desire to learn about who You are and reading Your Word. Lord, and that Your Word will clean us up and convict us. And we thank You in Jesus. Let us submit to that. Let us respond to Your Word, Father, and to You. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
To see the dawn of the darkest day. Sin for me.
You guys know this guy. He's been coming here quite a while, and he has come this morning, and he wants to become a member of this local body. Did you say Mr. Clean? Is that what you said, Mr. Clean? He's gonna sign up to help with the cleaning around here, aren't you? Yeah, no. he'll do anything. I'm very proud of this guy. So we're gonna have a new member course coming up pretty soon. He'll be a part of that and learn about, you know, obviously what the New Testament says about the local church and our philosophy here. For y'all that have been through the new member course, it's a good time. I mean, how much better of a time can you have getting to sit and talk to me and Ian for a Sunday morning, right? Yeah, yeah. Hey, we have a lot of people that are sick today. I don't take offense. I'm not feeling great this morning, so I'm not going to shake your hands today, okay? I love all of you. Pray for, I know we have a lot of people that are sick this morning. This weather going from 80 to 40 has just got everybody messed up. So go home, get some rest today. I love you guys, but come around here and welcome him into this body of believers. Mike Estelle, would you close us in prayer?